So, Father God, we are just so thankful to see everybody here this morning and to see that you're answering our prayers and healing, encouraging, and watching over us and keeping us safe. And we know, Father, that by the Holy Spirit's power is the only reason that we are able to go forth each day and be what you desire for us to be. We praise you, Father, that you don't lose patience with us, that the Holy Spirit is molding us into the likeness of Jesus, and he is teaching us all the things that Jesus was and did so that we can have it forever. And we just thank you, Father God, for being so good to us. So we have here Paul's trial before King Agrippa. You know, when Jesus stopped Paul, and we pick this up in this lesson here on the way to Damascus, he said he would appear before kings. And so also Jesus appeared to him in Jerusalem and said, you will go to Rome. And so, you know, as he went through and all the things that he went through, I imagine he kept thinking, well, am I ever going to get to Rome? But he firmly believed that if Jesus said he'd go to Rome, that he'd be to Rome. So that's where we are right now. So I think that's real encouraging, because we have so many things we have to deal with. And we think, well, why am I having to deal with that? God has a purpose, and he is teaching us just like us, someone said a while ago, so that we will be able to learn and to know him better. Main reason we need to do that over and over again, we think we can do it by ourselves. And when all the rugs are pulled out from under us, we have to dawn on us, oh, I will not be able to do this without your help. So it's really good. So I sent out some study questions, and the first one here was, why did Paul consider himself fortunate to be able to defend himself before King Agrippa?
He was well acquainted with the Jewish customs, and he had heard about Jesus, mm-hmm. but he was not a follower, mm-hmm. but he was very well informed. So mm-hmm. that gave Paul the courage to say, hey, I can present my case to you and you're going to understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I got.
Well, you got it right. That's what it said right there to begin with. And so I think it's interesting here that King Agrippa said, I consider myself fortunate. And then when King Agrippa tells him that he can speak, it said that he raised his hand. Did y'all see that? And I thought, when you're speaking, sometimes you raise your hand. And he was talking to Agrippa and going on. Of course, Agrippa he knew everything that was going on, because that was his job. Mm-hmm. He was over all of this territory. All of these different governors were under him. And they had to watch all of the coming together of the Jewish festivals and stuff, because that was when the Jews could go nuts and go into a revolt of some kind. And so that was their job, was to keep peace all in the area here that was under the rule of Rome at this time. Mm-hmm. And so he was, and he's a wise man, it seems to be. Mm-hmm. So King Agrippa, he said, I consider it fortunate. And then he said, these Jews accuse me of, particularly since you know so well the Jewish things. And then it looks on and said, all the Jews know how I have lived ever since I was young. They know how I have spent my whole life, at first in my own country and then in Jerusalem. And I think this is so important here. You know, they've kept saying, well, you've done this, you've caused all this trouble, and, you know, just forgot how much they didn't know about him. And he goes on here, said, they have always known if they are willing to testify. Now then they're down to the point, the only thing they want to do is get him killed.
Yeah.
And so it says it's not that, you know, it's not that they don't know who they're dealing with here. He said, I was a Pharisee, and now I stand here to be tried because of the hope I have in the promise God made to our ancestors. And he even picks up, this was foretold by the prophets, this was foretold by even by Moses. And he said, I have had all of this is something that we should look forward to. And so he's really scolding them here. You know, you don't have enough guts, that's what we'd say, to stand up and defend me when you've known that everything I've done since I was a child is to try to serve God. And he knew the law. We've discussed before he was a lawyer. He knew all of the law of Moses. He knew all of the law of Rome. And he, you know, was raised where he knew what to do and where to do everything. And so he just said here, if y'all had, in other words, he's putting it back in their lap. And so it's interesting to know that there. I was going to try to stick with this, and he said, what hope did they have? Now, what hope was he talking about? The hope of everlasting life. The one of the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection for the dead. Mm-hmm. And they had believed that for years and years and years because God had been their God, and he had also, you know, taken such good care of them that they knew that he would save them if they had to die, because that was what had been come out in the prophet. And so that was where he was. So he said, and now I stand here to be tried because of the hope I have in the promise that God made to our ancestors, the very thing that the 12 tribes of our people hope to receive as they worship. Mm-hmm. Worship God day and night. And it is because of this hope, Your Majesty, that I am being accused by these Jews. And why do you who are here find it impossible to believe that God raised the dead? He's going back and said that they believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. They've raised people from the dead all in the Old Testament times every once in a while. And they had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. And so when he died and then he was raised from the dead, he's going back and telling them, you know, you just will not listen. You will not believe. And he and two or three others always pull this up from Isaiah. You don't have ears that listen. You don't have eyes that sees. You refuse to believe God. That's why they went into exile about every 100 years. It's because they would get themselves in a mess, and then they'd be hauled off into exile, and then they'd decide, well, God may have had a plan for us after all, and they'd start praying, let us go back and let us be delivered. And you know, it was, and then in Isaiah, he said, my people will not listen to me. My people will not see. I think that's something that I pray for all the time. Isn't it amazing how much stuff just goes by that you miss?
Amen.
And even, I think that is the value of a study in God's Word. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, well, that didn't make sense to me then. But the more you study it and the more you experience and the more you get to know, well, that's what he had in mind, and that's where he had me, and that's where he's bringing me. And that's part of that sanctification, is to open our eyes and open our ears. The last book in the Bible, if you got ears, listen. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to every church that had messed up somewhere and somehow. So Paul's persecuted the follower of the Jews. So we're getting into that right now. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting here because in 9, he said the very thing the tribes was looking for. He said God raised them from the dead. Mm-hmm. He said, I myself thought that I should do everything I could against the cause of Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. I've been through that when I was so stupid that I thought I had all the answers and I was going to get everybody else straightened out. It happened to find out and dawn on me that I was the one that was not straight. Anyway, he said that he had done everything, and this is what I did in Jerusalem. So he's going over this. Mm-hmm. Now notice, the chief priest and them is the ones that's brought him up to be tried. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that's been wanting him to be killed, and he's pointing this out. This is what I did in Jerusalem. I received authority from the chief priest and put many of God's people in prison. Mm-hmm. And when they were sentenced to death, I also voted against them many times. Mm-hmm. I had them punished in the synagogue and tried to make them deny their faith. I was so furious with them that I went to foreign cities to persecute them. Mm-hmm. He's one more time pulling all these people up. I went by your authority for me to be where I was. And then he said, you know my background. You know that I am probably the best educated man coming up, because he had been under Gamaliel for years, which was the top teacher of the law. And he said probably he would have been the chief priest or the chief, because that it was his line of people. And so he said, I had all of this, and you were the ones that said it was okay. He just continues to snap them back every once in a while. You know, you had this problem. but you were in on the problem to begin with. He said, I myself thought I should do everything. Anytime that we think we can do everything, you're going to be in a problem. I've told people over and over and over, well, you're not God. You can't fix everything. You can't be there for everybody. You can't do all things. And any time used to when they'd make the announcement that something needed to be done, I thought my name was on the list. I don't even where the list is now. So then, let's see, where did we get to? Anyway, he's talking about the chief priest. He got all of his okay from that. And then he goes down in 12. It was for the purpose that I went to Damascus with authority and orders from the chief priest. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the people there in the hierarchy of the Jerusalem, they said, this is a good thing. You go over there and see how many people you can kill or put in jail, mm-hmm. if they're believers. Yeah. And it was on the road at midday, Your Majesty, that I saw a light much brighter than the sun coming from the sky and shining around me and the men traveling with me. Mm-hmm. All of us fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say, I love this. I heard a girl say to me in Hebrew, Jesus knows your language.
Yes.
I don't care what language you're teaching or what language you're using. He's very good in all the languages. But I, just to see this in print here, that Paul, it was so very personal to him. And he knows our name. And our name is written in the book of life if we have come to Jesus in faith. And so we are his children. We have been adopted. And when you have a child and you name them, mm-hmm. you don't have any trouble knowing their name. I think that is such a comfort to know that Jesus knows our name. Mm-hmm. And then he calls him Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now then notice he's going back to his Hebrew name and not the Greek name. Mm-hmm. The Greek name, because he's going in among the Gentiles, is Paul. But his Hebrew name is Saul. So if you ever wondered why Saul all of a sudden became Paul, yep. it was because he was to go to the Gentiles. And always know you are hurting yourself by hitting back. And when we deliberately go against Jesus, we hurt too. We hurt the Lord. Mm-hmm. We hurt ourselves. Yep. Over and over and over in the Bible, Jesus in his word says, if you do these things, you will be blessed. And that means it's going to be better. And if we don't do those things, we're not going to get a blessing. And so then we have here, so he said, then Your Majesty, I saw it, and this light, and he fell there. And he says, you're hurting yourself by hitting back like an ox kicking against the owner's sticks. Mm-hmm. Who are you, Lord, I asked, and the Lord answered, I am. Notice this starts with I am. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
God. I am the great I
yeah,
am.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's it. And if you study the book of John, the I ams is all the way through it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the I am. And so he said, I guess you understand about this ox kicking the gourds and all that stuff. It was interesting. I don't know where I was talking about this the other day. Well, I think it was last week, Sunday school. It was talking about Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so this is going back to the same idea. You put a strong ox that knows what he's supposed to be doing and a young one together, and with one of these yokes that are put together. And that's what Jesus is. We are yoked with him. And as we move forward in life, he is taking the biggest, strongest part. You know, if this little old young one over here is kicking the back of his feet, and you learn that there's sharp stuff down there, when you start kicking it, get hurting. And so, but it always is good to remember that whatever we're doing, we are yoked together with the strength. And so then if you continue to work with him, you continue to mature with him, pretty soon you've got a real good team of oxen. And two pulling together can get a whole lot more done than one pulling by itself and the other one standing over here, I don't like this today. How many people have you known in church that act like that? I don't like this today. I didn't get anything out of the sermon, I think I'll go back next week. bless hearts, they think it's all about them. Anyway, so, but anyway, this is what he is. Jews write in word pictures, right? They always have, and they always will. So you see the picture here. And so Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you persecuted, but get up and stand on your feet. I like that. How many times have you felt like you've just been slammed down to the ground and nothing's working? And Jesus comes along, he said, all right, get up and stand on your feet. I am a Mimi that believes that very strongly. And when they come carrying away, just get up and go on with your business here, you'll be all right. Anyway, Jesus said, I like that everything's laid out when he's at this point. I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. You are to tell others what you have seen of me today and what I will show you in the future. I will rescue you from the people of Israel. Isn't that interesting? We're standing here in trial, and the people of Israel have brought him up there again. And from the Gentiles to whom I send you. You are to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God, so that through their faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive their place among God's chosen people. That's the whole thing that he wanted of Paul. And he said Paul had been designated to do this before he was born. And so just think, he probably is 30, going on 40 here. He thought he knew exactly what God wanted him to be doing. He knew exactly how it was supposed to be done. And he had all the answers because he knew his Bible. Yep. I've been there, done that, didn't work. And so he said, well, we're going a different route. Because I thought that I had all the answers. And I didn't even know what the questions were. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But always, always humble yourself before the Lord. You don't see what he is asking you to do, how it's going to benefit, and what it's going to do, and where it's going to land up. But he does. And like Sandy said, he's sovereign. He knows you. He knew you when he created you inside your mother's womb, what you would do and how. And Paul, you know, we have learned how absolutely qualified he was for the job that Jesus wanted him to do. He had the language. He had the law. He had the scriptures. He had the zeal. He had everything to make him what he would do. He just hadn't got it in going in the right direction yet.
And it's no big surprise to God, isn't it?
No. No, he just says, you finally woke up. And I think that's interesting because he tells Paul here all of this information when he's blinded for 3 days. Talk about a lesson.
Yeah. Well, captive audience.
Yeah. He is an appointed time for everything.
That sounds a lot like Ecclesiastes. Yeah.
There is an appointed time.
Yeah.
For our eyes to be open.
Yeah.
And then you get your. Then I got my eyes open and I had to start over.
Hello. 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 How many times have you had to start over?
Yeah.
It didn't work. The marriage didn't work. The education didn't work. It didn't work. But finally, God said he is the author and the finisher. He will not give up on you. Yes. Praise God. And he may keep you alive till you're so old you can't figure out what you're doing. But it's in his timing, he will bring you where he knows you need to be. Because he has created you with every talent, everything that he knows that you're going to need. And then, you know, Jesus keeps popping up. You know, he popped, you know, when he was in Jerusalem in the temple. And Jesus said, you better get out of here. This bunch around here is going to kill you. And send him on down the road. And so then when he would be stoned and laying out outside the city and look like he's dead, God would go pick him up, bring him back into the city, and there he'd be. So God has been there, and everything that God told him that he would do and where he would do it comes to pass. And so he was faithful to never, ever give up. It just had not gotten there yet. And so then we go on here. And so he said then, so, and said, and so, King Agrippa, I did not disobey the vision I had from heaven. In other words, God told me to do it, and I started working at it, and he just continued to work at it. And so we know our vision basically is to know Jesus and to know his people and to be what he wants us to be. And he said, first in Damascus, in Jerusalem, then the whole country of Israel, and among the Gentiles, he said, I preach that they must repent of their sins and turn to God and do the things that would show that they had repented. This is not something the Jews want to hear. They do not think there's anything they have to repent from. They think that they are God's people and that we've got it right, even though their generation after generation they got it wrong and went in exile. But they were always firmly convinced that everything was going to work out fine for them, even though whether they were loyal and obedient to God and humble before him. So he's saying here that that's the first thing that John the Baptist came into the Jewish people before Jesus came. You've got to repent and turn back to God. How many people do you think that they are, you know, I'm saved or I'm a real moral person and I don't need to know anything else. I know how to live and I know what to do. We're all ignorant. We're all in need of being taught. We're all in need of learning from a different source. So then he said, I preached among the Gentiles, and then of course among the Gentiles and among the Jews also. It was for this reason that the Jews seized me while I was in the temple and they tried to kill me. But this very day I have been helped by God. So I stand here giving my witness to all, the small and even the great alike. And I say it in the very same thing which the prophets and Moses said was going to happen, that the Messiah must suffer and the first one to arise from the dead and to announce the light of salvation to the Jews and to the Gentiles. This is something that the Jewish people did not want to hear. They did not need any light. They had the law, they had it all figured out. And now then, if we can get this man that comes in here and wants to bring the Gentiles shot or hung or done something with him, everything will continue to smooth on down the road as we started with it.
The Jews knew, I mean, they were always looking for Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't like they wanted and thought.
Well, of course.
Looked like. Reminds me of religion.
Yeah, we all, you know, somebody was sent out the word that someone needed to draw God. That's something you're not going to ever be able to do. God's in every breath we have, every leaf we see, every creation that it is. He is the creator. He is, he's so much power that he don't have any way you can get a hold of it. And so you have to realize that you have a mighty God, that even he wants to love you. And I think that's such a great thing. So as Paul defended himself in this way, Festus shouted at him, "You're mad, Paul. Your great learning has driven you nuts." Well, you know, Festus had been such a good governor. He had put Paul in an institution up there and forgot he was there for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, it happened to dawn on him, I think that the governor ahead of him, but neither one of the governors had enough gumption, strength, to take care of Paul. And so he is locked up for 2 years, and as I said last week, I really believe that was God's will for him to rest and to get well and to be able to live through two or three shipwrecks going on to Rome pretty soon. And Teresa's going to tell us all about those. So, it's not ever my fault, and it's Paul's fault because he's gone nuts on us. And Paul answered, "I'm not mad, Your Excellency. I am speaking with the sober truth, King Agrippa. I can speak to you with all boldness because you know about these things and I am sure that you have taken notice of every one of them. For this thing has not happened hidden away in a corner. He's talked to the Jews. He's talked to the Gentiles. He's talked to the governors. He's talked to King Agrippa here. All know who Paul is, and they've known it for a long, long time. They've known what's been going on with him teaching and bringing the people and the Gentiles back to know the faith. He said, this isn't a surprise, guys. And it's really interesting when you get to look at this, you think that Paul is the one that's on trial. Mm-hmm. Everybody there is on trial but Paul. The Jews are on trial. The Gentiles is on trial. The governor was on trial. The king was on trial. And every one of them, he's pointing them out without being, you know, he was so gracious. He's a good lawyer. Anyway, and he said, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He said, I know that you do. Mm-hmm. And Agrippa said to Paul, in this short time, do you think you will make me a Christian? Mm-hmm. I think the old King James, in this short time, do you think?
Persuade me
to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that's in a sermon so many times growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How often have the congregation been, you know everything, Agrippa, you've got all the information, you know who the prophets was and everything, and then you question about the faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. and then say, and the preacher would talk to you, do you know right now, are you going to become a Christian? Are you going to be like Agrippa? And it said, then this is his reply, whether a short time or a long time, Paul answered, my prayer to God is that you and all the rest of you who are listening to me today might become what I am, except, of course, of these chains. He has been brought in with his chains on his feet to stand all this time before everybody, and he has whittled them down one by one because God was leading him and working through him. And they did have an opportunity. So then, it says, then the king and the governor Bernice, that's the wife of the king, and all the others got up, and after leaving, they said to each other, this man's not done anything for which they should die or be put in prison. It's so plain that everything he did with authority. He did it from that viewpoint. And it said, and Agrippa said to Festus, and I think this is real interesting. He says, Festus, this man could have been released if he had not appealed to the emperor or to Caesar. And he didn't at first, but he kept being pushed and pushed and pushed. And so if Festus had taken care of him, this never would have come up. So you can look at all of this and see how the Holy Spirit has directed and led Paul to this place where he is. And so you will see in 27 here, my title here is Paul Sails for Rome. Mm-hmm. And that was his aim. So God said, all right, you ready to go to Rome? And so this is here. It's a little bit wet two or three times when they've had two or three shipwrecks before they get there. But Paul does not give up. So we have another exciting two chapters for next week. And so that is our lesson today. Teresa's going to finish out Acts, and then I'm going to start Genesis. I decided that's what I do. It always amazes me, and Karen will verify this. I will pray about what I'm going to study, and then sometimes I come we have one lesson, and I come in and the preacher's preaching on what I chose.
Yeah.
And then it always, there's always somebody preaching somewhere that's right on what I'm needing to know. And so I think that you get to this and the Holy Spirit is leading our thinking, because I have not taught from the Old Testament for a while, and I wanted to do this one more time. And I never teach a book the same way. I've learned so much more about Genesis.
We just thank you for this day. It is so beautiful outside. Thank you for the blue sky. Thank you for the heat. Father God, we thank you that you just love us so much and give us in spite of us. Thank you that some people might want it cooler, but you know what? This is what we have today. And today is a great day to adore you, to praise you, to worship you, to thank you. All our needs that we are writing in the book of prayers, Father God, you know them before we put them in there. And Father, we just ask that you help us in your ways, that you give us abundantly, because you are a God who gives beyond our desires, because you know our hearts, Father God, for disease, for health issues, for jobs, for whatever the need is in that book, Father God, we just trust you and believe that you will help us and guide us and just give us what we need, Father God. Give us the strength to get through this day. Give us the knowledge, the wisdom to be a light to this dark world, because we need to proclaim your name to all. Father God, we love you and we trust you. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.